The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 10:03 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Del and Anna in there working the board today. So if you want to call in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on the show. The big news, Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve taking the All-Star game off. They're both opting out of the All-Star game to be with family. Altuve. So Carlos says he's got his wife has an appointment, so I want to be at the appointment. You know, because my wife is pregnant for the first time and family comes first and all of that. He doesn't work till 3 o'clock every day, so he could absolutely go to any appointment at any morning. But then he'd have to get up early in the morning.
Who's looking for that?
Yeah. And you know, this whole, Del, you don't get the whole thing. What with, you know, being married and having a kid.
I'm not sure it's really something that can be explained that you'd actually make the decision to get married in the first place. Then you're going to top it off with a kid.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's a bad decision maker. But since he's already made that decision, you can't upset the person you made that decision with.
Right.
So he's decided to stay. And here's Carlos discussing it. This was before yesterday's game, and this is a courtesy of Mark Berman.
I want to announce that I won't be attending the All-Star game this year. As you guys know, my wife is pregnant with her first child. We have an appointment during that break, and I want to stay home. As you guys know, baseball is really important to me, but family will always come first. So we decided that I'm going to stay here with her, spend this time. Obviously, we don't get a lot of time together with baseball season. So I'm pretty excited about that. Obviously, I'm grateful for everybody that voted for me to win the All-Star game. Baseball means, you know, the world to me, but I want to be with my family this time, especially with my wife. Spending this time with her is our first child, so I need that time.
Yeah, and I don't want to go.
And I don't want to go.
And I just don't want to go.
And to be honest with you, if it was in a better city, who knows? Maybe me and Daniela would have gone. Actually, it's in Denver, right? It's not a bad city. It's a reasonable thing to say. It's just a question of if the cynics in all of us believe it.
Well, as I understand it, he said, yeah, the All-Star game was great. It wasn't all that fun. It wasn't all that. You know what? And, you know, the logic of it, the fewer games Carlos Correa plays, the better off his body is. So, you know, adding those 4 days that of all of the attention, all of the stuff that you, the interviews and the game and the getting in the home run derby and all the stuff that you got to do. You know, hey, I'd rather be home and resting.
Isn't part of the All-Star experience is the ability to hang out with all these guys who are stars. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say, because I don't know, that the Astro players begging out of it are like, I don't want to deal with confrontation. But it may not be that great of an experience. They may have bad feelings about the guys who have said things about them. And you're like, you know what? Being at the All-Star game is about having fun and being jovial with the dudes. I don't want, these dudes weren't treating us well. Why would I want to hang out with them?
It makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. And you know what's going to happen, which is stupid, but Michael Brantley's going to, you know how they're all up the side,
he gets booed?
He's going to get booed because he's on the Astros. He's going to get booed. Presley's going to get booed. Neither of the guys were here.
Oh, we're not looking for logical reasoning when determining who we're going to boo or not.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, is Garrett Cole? He's not going to get booed.
But he wasn't here.
He
wasn't here for the 17, the team that everyone hates
the
most.
But he's a Yankee. He's not going to get booed anyway.
Shouldn't he get booed for using spider tech?
Yeah. He should get booed because he's not as good a pitcher.
Well, the Yankee fans would do that for us. They've been doing that quite a bit, booing him for not being as good of a pitcher.
Yeah. But we'll find out what kind of pitcher he is tomorrow. So that'll be fun. But, it's going to be so stupid because people are too stupid to they're just stupid. They're going to boo Michael Brantley and they're going to boo Presley because they're wearing Astros uniforms, even though they had nothing to do with it.
Well, I get it's not all that different from people booing their hated rival. I mean, I'll boo Florida State to the day I die. So I guess the Astros have become that now. Even it took cheating in 2017 for it to occur, but now they've just become one of America's hated teams, and the uniform means you get booed. It came about differently than a lot of other teams. Like, people boo the Patriots because they win and people hate them. The Astros win, people hate them, but they weren't going to get booed before the cheating stuff. Now, they're just like any of those hated teams that people don't like. They're the Lakers for some teams, for some cities. They have become that team now.
Yeah, but it's been all about – maybe they are. Maybe it's just that we just hate the Astros now and everything that they stand for.
Like, the Yankees haven't been – the Yankees are the Astros' BIA. But you know what? People will still boo the Yankees here. Why? You've had great moments against the Yankees. But you know what? They're going to get booed because they got that uniform on.
Yeah.
And I think that's just how it is for the Astros now going forward. You got that uniform on, you get booed.
I wonder if it was this way for the 1919 White Sox, the Black Sox.
Yeah, how did baseball fans react back then to stuff like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't around, sorry.
You're not the bee's knees, see, White Sox?
Yeah, see?
You'll never catch me, Kappa.
That's in reference to the use of the word hoodlum on national TV in 2021. Did Devin Booker go to the post game in a fedora and a Tommy gun?
So, for those of you that don't know, didn't hear, Jeff Van Gundy said last night about Devin Booker, he said he looks like a choir boy, but he plays like a hoodlum. This sparked some outrage on Twitter. It should be, it's like, you know, some of the words like that Lance Berkman uses.
Yeah, like in the shenanigans. Yeah, shenanigans.
You know, you're still up, your shenanigans are still going on, I see. What? Who says shenanigans?
And who says hoodlum?
Who says hoodlum?
Who describes anyone that way anymore?
Who does that? Jeff Van Gundy and Lance Berkman. I hate to bring Lance into this conversation because it's about, listen, and the world, it's outrage because Devin Booker is, oh, stop.
And outrage is, it's a certain group, but it hasn't even reached the net. I mean, it became a thing on one of those aggregate sites in Larry Brown Sports. I haven't seen it anywhere else. The outrage is probably limited to the people on Twitter who get upset about everything. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if ESPN will afford or ABC, the parent company, Disney. Jeff, you're going to have to apologize. This is our biggest event. I don't know if it comes to that. It might.
Oh, I'm almost positive Jeff Van Gundy is going to have to send out a statement or on Sunday say I made a reference.
I in no way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Believe that Devin Booker, so on and so forth. Poor choice of words.
Maybe he was hacked.
No, he was on television live. We heard him.
Maybe somebody.
You think Mark Jackson got involved with this to get Jeff out of the way?
Maybe. Maybe Mark Jackson wants to sit in the main seat right there.
The main. I think Mark Jackson is right where he should be, and honestly, we could do without him.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy could do it all on his own.
Honestly, if you want to put a third person in there, give me some Doris Burke. You tell me if you need a 3-man team, Doris Burke couldn't do that.
Yeah, Doris Burke would be great. Yeah, Mark Jackson adds very little.
Have you heard "Mama, There Goes That Man Again"?
Yeah,
have you heard it?
I've heard it. Yeah, and that's,
can I have this dance? Have you heard that one?
No.
You haven't heard that one? When there's an isolation play and then the offensive player makes a move, he will say, "Can I have this dance?" Because he's dancing around him like James would do. That one hasn't struck a chord with you yet?
No. No. Nothing really strikes a chord with me. I like color commentary. Van Gundy adds a ton to the broadcast with, you know, fun stuff that he says and information. Lance was talking about it earlier. He'll break down exactly what the defense is doing and how they've adjusted. He knows coaching. He, you know, all of these so-called experts calling for Mike Budenholzer to make adjustments. What do you want him to do? What adjustment would you make?
He has the one thing he has done that he had not done in the past is play his stars big minutes. A lot of people had big issues with him last year. Or, wait a minute, You're letting the heater going about to go 3-1. You're going to limit the minutes of your best players? What are you doing? Like, for example, Giannis only played 35 minutes, partly. Actually, that's game one. Giannis was coming back from an injury, so only played 35 minutes. That makes sense. But in game one, Middleton played 45. Holiday played 40. If I was going to take issue, because I'm not, I don't get it. I can't break down the intricacies of every play and every drop coverage to say, okay, you're clearly doing this wrong. That's some guy's job on Twitter and sites, so that maybe they have a better look into Mike Budenholzer's alleged failures. But play your guys big minutes, and he's done that, and he did it last night. Giannis played 40, Middleton played 41, Holiday played 39. Keep your best players on the floor in the playoffs. Yeah. And that's what he's done. A lot of that.
Well, I mean, he's getting mostly because for his switches, he's getting mostly killed for his, you know, and it ends up, you know, Chris Paul is dictating who's covering him. So that seems to be a problem. But when guys can't fight through screens, well, as good, Van Gundy said, as good as these guys are at the pick and roll, they're sensational. Good luck. Stop. I don't care what. Oh, you got to make adjustments. You can't have Brook Lesnar. What? Well, then what are you going to do? Do you think that, well, if Jrue Holiday doesn't fight through the screen, how the hell are you going to keep him on Chris Paul or Devin Booker if he can't fight through the screen or whatever the case may be? Or going into when he played his zone against the Nets. Now, that was
pretty dumb.
Yeah, well. And he didn't do it anymore.
Yet
he beat him, and in large part because they didn't have players.
And he didn't play that zone going forward. We saw it one game, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
And he stopped doing it because he realized that's bad for us.
Right. So, but all these would-be coaches, Mike Budenholzer forgot more basketball than most people, anybody knows.
There's some things you get, like, sure, if you take that tact, then you can never analyze or criticize a coach. There are some things that clearly guys who are locked in and that's their job to break down stuff and say, okay, you're doing that wrong.
But you know what
Mike Budenholzer can't account for? Jrue Holiday combining for what? He was 7-for-21 in game one, and he was like 4-for-14 in game two.
No, he was 7-for-21.
Sorry, 7-for-21 in game two. I think he was 4-for-something in game one. He can't account for that.
No. Or Chris Middleton scoring 11 points. That's your Robin.
Yeah, because as bad as you can talk about his adjustments, these are like games that could have been had if your perimeter players played better. And they didn't.
Yeah. Stop already. But it's the key phrase. Mike Budenholzer didn't make adjustments. Shut up.
It's the thing they said about him for years, and it's been like an anvil on him for years. I'm not gonna crush him for this because look at his star players, the guys who are supposed to carry him. There's only one doing their job, and it's a guy with the groin problem, or the hyperextension of the knee. That guy is the same guy in every game. The other two have their variances are too high. You can't, Chris Middleton. We can't have you score 11 points in the finals.
No. No, you can't. Chris Middleton, remember we go as you go. So you're gonna have to score some more points. I think they're gonna come back with a vengeance.
I do too. Yeah. I think they'll win game
three. I think they'll win game three. All right, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6 is here. I want to get back to Zaïla on the other side.
Okay.
She is something special in America.
She had to overcome her background, and by background, I mean the state she came from.
Yeah, she had to overcome Louisiana. Okay, if you can overcome Louisiana and be special, then you are something.
And it has to do with spelling?
What? Next.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, sportsmapbets has all the info you need to make the best play. sportsmapbets.com.
Do you like taking your car to a shop for maintenance or repairs?
Huh, are you kidding?
Exactly. That's why people all over Houston are using RepairSmith. RepairSmith will do all your car maintenance or repair in your driveway, safely, with no contact.
RepairSmith works on my car at home?
Anything your car needs. Oil change, battery replacement, or brakes, you name it. From regular maintenance to major repairs, RepairSmith will do it all at your home.
What kind of cars?
All of them. RepairSmith has specialists for every make, year, and model of car. Foreign or domestic.
Expensive?
No. You'll pay the same you would at a local shop. There's no fee for coming to your house. And you even get a guaranteed quote before you book. No surprises or extra fees.
Life just got a whole lot easier.
To get a free quote or to schedule at-home car repairs, go to repairsmith.com and enter code RADIO. That's RepairSmith.com, code RADIO. RepairSmith.com, code RADIO.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance. And you'd better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They are experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Catch, clip, release. You'll hear that all summer with the CCA Star Catch and Release Fishing Tournament. New categories this year and more tagged reds than ever before. Spend the summer wetting a line, and you could reel in a new boat and truck when you catch and release a tagged redfish. Kids can catch a $30,000 scholarship. Sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Shoal Water Boats, Mustang Cat, and Dargo Boats. Sign up at startournament.org, local bait camps and marinas.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 20 after 10:20. 713-780-3776. Have you seen Zaila Avant-Garde? Zaila Avant-Garde is a three-time Guinness Book of World Records holder. Go look her up and see her dribbling and juggling basketballs at the same time. She holds the record with four basketball bounces, how many bounces you could have in a minute, bouncing basketballs in a minute. She bounces four basketballs at once, and now she holds the world record. This is a record that, you know, a lot of people, probably she's the only one who does this, but so it's, you know, it's a world record held by.
Yeah, because there are world records, like the world record for the most amount of time you can bounce a balloon between each other's with your heads without it hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That's, you can create a world record that way.
Right.
You might think to yourself, why would anyone care about that? But it goes in the book if you do it.
It's a world record.
Yeah.
How many do you have, Del? None.
I have none.
None.
Most consecutive days working with a clown.
That you get that. Except sometimes I take a day off. So
that's true. But that I always have to reset my record. And I think every time you don't, like if you go a 3 month stretch without taking a day off,
well, it's a new record.
It's a new record for me. Yeah.
So anyway, she's unbelievable. She's an unbelievable basketball player. She's in seventh or eighth grade, whatever. She's 14 years old. And she won the National Spelling Bee yesterday. She spelled Mariah. Now, not Mariah Carey, not that one. This was a different Mariah. Which, do you know what a Mariah is, though?
I do now, because I can pull up the video of it. And this is her winning word, as John says. And congratulations. Big for Zaila Avant-Garde and her family, but even bigger for the state of Louisiana, because this is an upset of epic proportions.
Maria, M-U-R-R-A-Y-A.
That is correct.
And there is your champ, the holder of three Guinness World Records, and now the 2021 Scripps National Spelling Bee winner, Zaila Avant-Garde.
How about that? She's the first African-American to win the spelling bee. And she's got to be the first Louisiana person, right?
Like, I don't know.
I mean,
look,
honestly.
We know.
We don't know this, but I'm
we
just
don't
assuming.
Know. We know generally who wins these awards.
Right.
I don't know if the that population has grown in Louisiana. You wouldn't. I wouldn't
generally,
know.
Generally, it's a Asian American.
Yeah. As or he'll say a South Asian American.
South Asian American.
Yes.
South Asian American that wins the spelling bee. I don't know. I don't think that's a very big population in Louisiana. So I'm pretty sure she's probably the first one. We'll just assume.
Yeah, because we can't believe Louisiana would ever produce a Scripps Spelling Bee champion.
No.
That's not what they do. This is the same place who was like, look, we're running out of money for our schools, but the football program will be well-funded, and it better be.
Yeah. We're not caring about all that spelling and fancy book learning stuff.
Yeah. Is she homeschooled? I know Lance kept saying that. I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know that that's the case either. She's only been competing in spelling bees. And apparently she finished like 370th. Was her best finish. And then she won the national spelling bee.
Do you think people are yelling at her saying, Zaila, you got to make adjustments like they yell at Bud? And she actually
started
making
them? Zaila, you going to make those spelling adjustments?
Yeah.
You know, like spell it right next time?
Well, that's an adjustment.
It is an adjustment. Or maybe she just got easier words, or maybe she has an orange jessamine plant in her backyard.
I don't know what that means. What is
that's
that?
That's what a Maria is.
Okay.
Mariah is.
Well, she had to spell other words to get there, and congratulations to her. I'm going to look it up, because I can't believe anyone else from Louisiana could have won this.
No, we have to look up the list, but that would take work, so I'm just going to assume nobody from Louisiana ever did. You know what I'm saying? It would be, you'd have to look up the whole list and where they're from. And they have a lot of funny names that you can't pronounce.
I'm not going to butcher their names, but I'm just looking it up as I go through the list. A lot of Kentucky, of all places.
Kentucky?
But this was back when, you know, it was kind of segregated. Who could actually compete back in 1925?
Well, that's different. That's different. No wonder this is the first African-American.
Things have changed. What?
I mean, is this like baseball? They couldn't compete until the 50s?
I don't know if that's the rule, but in 1925, I would imagine the competition looked a certain way.
Yeah. It goes back to 1920. Oh, this is the 93rd.
Yeah.
This was the 93rd Scripps National Spelling Bee.
And as I go through it, not a Louisiana winner.
See?
So I think... Surprise! Look, we made the assumption taking our shots to Louisiana, but we're right. They had not had, from what I can tell, they have not had a winner, even back when they're like eight people could compete, or a certain segment of the population could compete, and only them. Louisiana, first time they've won.
Congratulations! Way to go! That's my adopted home, Louisiana. My wife's. I mean, that's my in-law. Louisiana's my in-law, and finally. We got us a champion.
Do you think the pressure is now off? Like it's like winning finally, like when
like Chris Paul.
When Chris Paul, if he wins a finals, the same way. Like finally that monkey's off the back. Louisiana finally has a champion.
Yeah.
You think the pressure had been building in that state for a while?
How many Mississippians have won?
Well, that's a good
How
question.
How many
John.
Alabamians have won?
There's been some people from the South, like Tennessee, and
Tennessee's not really the South.
It's not?
Eh.
Well, I'm looking the Deep South, I guess we would call it. Not a lot of competitors. Not a lot of winners from if at all. If Tennessee's not in the South, and Elish and Louisiana is considered Louisiana. Oh, back in 1974, Julianne Junkin of Birmingham, Alabama, won.
Well, how about that? And there's our lone champ. That's like 1939 Aggies.
As you joke, but I can't find another person in the Deep South to have won it since we're removing Kentucky from the conversation. So it's Alabama, 1974, and then Louisiana. Or you mean we're removing Tennessee from the conversation?
Well, no, Tennessee's just South, I guess.
Okay, so Tennessee has won it a couple of times. Like they had Tennessee had a 3-year run in a row of winning it. 93, 94, 95.
That Indian family that moved in?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
Guys with the names of Hooper and...
Hooper?
Andrews and Carroll were the last names. The run on... the NFC like Super Bowl run that the Southeast Asian community was on, that didn't start until recently. That didn't start until about 2003, from what I can tell, the first like Southeast Asian winner, 2003. It's a recent run. Do you think they were like, wait a minute, these white kids are all, we can win this too. You think that's what happened?
Well, what do you think the parents of the Indian kids that have been studying since they were 3 years old and this girl comes from Louisiana and has been doing it for 2 years and beats them? What do you think those parents are? We wasted our whole lives.
You know how they always say, and it's a wrong statement, but they always say, well, if we had our best athletes playing soccer, we would dominate the world. Well, look at that. Best athlete can spell, too. Look at that.
How about that?
Yeah.
By the way, yeah, she's a great basketball player. She's going to Harvard, and she's going to play. I don't doubt she'll play in the WNBA. She's unbelievable with the basketball. Skills, yeah. She's got unbelievable handles. You got to go look her up. Zaila Avant-Garde. Spelling bee champ.
Look, I'm not going to do
it. Her video is unbelievable.
I'm not going to do it here, and I still have to see Black Widow. But at some point, I'm going to find out when they change their name. Because it can't be Avant-Garde for the last 100 years, can it?
No. You got to look that up. 713-780-3776 we only got a half hour left. We'll set up the weekend and still ahead, news of the weird is coming your way at about 10:50, about 20 minutes from now, so don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. That's 800-426-0557.
Is your working capital tied up in accounts receivables? At Texas Citizens Bank, our AR purchase solution can keep your business in motion. By purchasing your qualified receivables, we give you access to working capital within 48 hours so you can order the equipment or inventory you need now to keep your business growing. It's the fast, easy way to get tomorrow's capital working today. To learn more, call 713-948-9341. 948-9341 or online texascitizensbank.com today.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Man, there are like 100. This 264, UFC 264, this card is like 15 fights. Got all the way down to Poirier and McGregor. Poirier is a big favorite, minus 200. McGregor's plus 160.
I thought you were talking about it, and he gave us the numbers. It was the opposite.
Yeah, it was the opposite. I've got right here, looking at my bookie right now, Poirier is minus 200, McGregor's plus 160. I don't know.
We got a big weekend of even the non, if you want, I don't know where you want to put UFC as far as major sports, but you've got the major soccer finals.
Yep.
And
who you got?
I don't know who. I'll root for Argentina. I'm not even a real Messi guy, even though you try to put that on me. But I'd like to see him win a major tournament outside of his club. Like, he's never won a major title for his country yet. So this will be maybe his last opportunity. So I'll root for him there. And Italy versus Spain. I mean, Italy versus England. That's another home game for England.
England's a favorite.
They are the home team.
Again,
it was the tournament initially was set up before COVID, where it was set up where multiple host countries would have games, and it stayed that way. But it became even more concentrated because England kept winning, And, you know, Wembley is one of the unique and big stadiums in all of world football, so they wanted to have a lot of games there. And because England was winning, they kept getting to play there. They wanted to reduce travel because of COVID. But when you're reducing travel and one of the teams has a real shot of winning it all, and you're using one of the major stadiums and it happens to reside in their home country.
And they're filling it up.
Yes.
I mean, the COVID concern is kind of, I mean, really?
Well, England apparently is not concerned, but other countries are. So they didn't want a lot of people traveling from country to country. So that's why a lot of the games are in specific places.
Yeah, but it seems to have been a huge advantage for England.
It has been. It's just like any other time, playing a World Cup at home is big for countries. Even the U.S. weren't expected to get out of their group back in 94. They got out of their group. The home team generally does really well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and against Germany, you got a full house rooting for you. It's a huge advantage.
Yeah. And particularly for a place, that tournament, they were one of the only stadiums that was putting that number of people in the building. Yeah. 60,000? That wasn't happening in the other stadiums.
No. I didn't know, you know, because I saw Belgium and Italy, and it was sparse.
Yeah, that game was in Germany, so you can imagine a game that doesn't feature the Germans in that country where you're reducing capacity anyway. It was going to be pretty sparse.
Well, Belgium, you can get there pretty easily.
Yeah, I just don't know the travel restrictions, honestly. So who knows what was playing into effect that way.
Right. So, of course, the Italians. I'm going to be rooting for the Italians.
Sure, and I will root. I will not root for the Italians.
Well, the English, really?
I don't care so much about England, but I do. But I
they
do
colonize watch, the whole world.
I understand. I get it. I do watch a lot of Premier League stuff, so I'm more familiar with their players. So I'll just root for them. It's more a rooting of convenience than anything else.
That's terrible.
Why? You're not even going to watch.
Oh, I'm going to watch. It's the biggest event. What day is it?
Exactly. You're not going to watch.
I might watch. You don't know.
If I don't tell you the day now, will you even try to find it?
It's Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
2 p.m., I believe, here.
2 p.m.?
Copa America. What are you going to be doing? It'll be raining, so what are you going to do?
Well, I don't even want to say. I'm going to Chicago for the weekend.
Oh, congratulations on another trip for you.
Going to Cubs games.
Are you... What?
Yeah, going Cubs to root for game. The Cardinals.
You
rooting for the Cardinals.
Why?
Because Matt Carpenter, who's from Houston, we're going to see him play. And then coming back. And after for the All-Star break, he's going to come back with us.
Okay, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Just know that you won't be rooting for for Italy. You won't even be watching the game.
I might watch it on my phone.
That's not happening. I don't believe you at all.
In between my Coors Lights, I'll be watching them.
You won't remember.
Yeah. I'll be at Wrigley all weekend, so that'll be
a terrible time you're going to have.
It's going to be awful. Trust me, I'm wearing my Astros gear, so there will be stories about people throwing stuff at me.
Well, I think you're just going to have stuff thrown at you for what you say, not even what you're wearing.
Cubs suck. Hate the Cubs. So anyway, that's happening this weekend. Astros and Yankees. Astros take 2 of 3.
And we need one of those victories to come at the expense of Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Saturday's the biggest game. Got to beat that ass. 6 o'clock game. You got to destroy Garrett Cole, all his hopes and dreams, down the drain. He has pitched well. He'll probably be pretty comfortable here, though. But you know what? Put your best lineup in there, Dusty, Uncle Dusty, and let's make sure that we put our best foot forward in killing him. Beat him the first time we saw him earlier this year, and that was when he still had his stick'em. That's when he still had spider tack, and beat him. Actually, I still think that's the biggest win of the year. You had just lost 2 to the Yankees. You were playing pretty disappointing baseball at that point, and then you beat the Yankees and went on a run. So that was, to me, you know, to get out of, to beat Garrett Cole when you were on a downer. And then they lost 2, and then they went on a roll in which they went to Toronto and took 2 out of 3, and then they won 1-2-6 straight against the Angels and then the Rangers here, and then beat A's 2 out of 3. So that was a nice run, and it was all started by the Garrett Cole beating Garrett Cole, although he didn't get the loss. He was the starter. Green got the loss, but you still won that a Gerrit Cole start. You were only at that point, you were 15-15. Since that win, you were 15-15. So since then, you've gone 39-19, 20 games over 500. So that was the impetus for this. You were a 500 team, playing pretty bad baseball at that point. After losing, I mean, you had lost to Tampa, then you'd lost three straight with Tampa, and then the Yankees a couple. Actually, before that, they were playing okay. They had that long dry spell against Detroit, Seattle, Colorado. That was bad. But beating Gerrit Cole again will be nice heading into the All-Star break. You'd like to keep this going, this momentum going, and win two out of three, have a nice lead over the A's, who think a little bit better of themselves after yesterday's game. So you'd like to get off. Your guys are going to be rested, except Brantley and Presley. They're going. Have they announced who's? I haven't seen. Have they announced who's going to replace Correa and Altuve?
I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen that either. It would be nice if Yuli got the nod.
Yeah, I wonder if they look. We gave you guys a bone. We're not doing it again. But Yuli should. How many first basemen do you carry? I don't know. Does that matter position wise? Because you're losing two middle infielders. Don't you have to replace them with middle infielders?
Well, you've got a couple of shortstops there in Bogarts and Bichette already. So do you need more than two shortstops? I don't know. Yuli can play third as well. And you're more than likely just going to be a pinch hitter anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how the All-Star game handles it. Do they go like for like if a guy can't make it? Or do they just pick the next available best player?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how they do it either. I don't think you have to get a shortstop to, or in a second baseman to take their places. I wonder if they were starters, if they would have still gone.
You know what? To be announced, but they all get announced. But I don't know to be vote, because that is a fan thing, and that would have been right. The Astro fans would have destroyed everyone else to get you there. I think it might. The reasoning they're using would suggest that it wouldn't matter. But if you don't necessarily believe it, being a starter means the Astro fans showed out for you. And are you
well, and not only the Astros fans, but fans across the country did too.
Yeah, but in this case, if we're even taking into account the hate that they've received, that means the Astro fans would have stuffed the ballot boxes like no other to get those guys.
And for them to just say, no, I ain't going. Yeah. And then there's the Sunday night Bucks and at home against Phoenix. We both think the Bucks are going to bounce back. I hope so.
Yeah, a 3-0 series that would be terrible. I don't imagine them going down 3-0 or 0-3. I feel like they win game 3 and then obviously it comes down to can the Bucks win game 4 to make it a long series.
Yeah. All right, Dell, if you got married,
first of all, not happening, but go ahead.
Right. Would your wife let you have relations with her mom? That is the big question that will be answered on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
My husband's ED was affecting our marriage. When he first started experiencing ED, it was difficult for both of us. We didn't know who to talk to about it or where to get help. Hims was our answer. Hims connected my husband with a licensed provider online. He was able to get medication to treat his ED at a fraction of the price people pay for the name brand. It was delivered to our door, and guess what? Our sex life is back. It works.
Right now, get your first online provider's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/love. Yep, free. No copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Just the care you need.
Thanks to Hims, we got our sex life and our marriage back.
To start your free online visit, go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/love. That's forhims.com/love for your free online visit. forhims.com/love.
Hey guys, Joel Blank can tell you about Cars for Kids. Look, if you got a vehicle laying around running or not and you want to get rid of it, you just don't know what to do with it, all you got to do is go to carsforkids.org or call 713-225-4226 and Cars for Kids is going to come to you, pick it up for free. It's a tax write-off, and if you mention ESPN Houston, you get a $50 Visa gift card to boot. They take care of it, and then it benefits Houston Can Academies and kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It's a fantastic program, and it all stems from your donations. Check them out today. Write off the car, not the kid.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Couple of unusual sex stories here. An ex-teacher who said she had the constitutional right to have sex with students. Apparently, a judge didn't agree. She's a former Alabama high school teacher who said it was her constitutional right. Carrie Cabri-Witt, 47, she gets to serve 18 months behind bars and 18 months in a community corrections program. So apparently, it's not a constitutional right, Del. Did you think that it should? Would you, as a judge, have agreed or disagree with the constitutional right for? Or does it depend on what she looks like?
Well, that is your thought, not mine. The I don't place value on someone's logic or them as people simply by what they look like. That is a you thing. As a judge, I would say I don't know if that really is in the Constitution. You're allowed to sleep with whoever you want, just depending on, you know, your interpretation of the Constitution. Nah, probably wouldn't work for me.
Well, apparently she had sex with two male students, ages 17 and 18. And since they were old enough for consensual relationship, because the law is 16, she said it's her constitutional right.
So why? But the teacher with student thing is still illegal, right?
Apparently it is, and she's going to be serving time for it. You know, the threesome thing, I don't know.
Oh, it was at the same time?
I don't know. It just says that she had relations with two boys.
Maybe it was on separate occasions.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
We don't know. You don't know. It seems to be a constitutional right. She's 40.
Where is it written in the Constitution?
Well, since the consensual age is 16 and they were 17 and 18, Del.
But even that's not in the Constitution.
It's the Alabama Constitution.
Oh, she's talking about the Alabama Constitution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's why I'm asking. It must be on the books that having sex with your students is illegal because of the other
stuff.
That
must be, yeah.
Then that would make it, why is she being prosecuted?
Yeah. Then why are you going to be a teacher ever, right?
What? If you can't, then why would you be a teacher is what you're asking?
Well, if you're an enthusiast, a 17 and 18-year-old enthusiast, I don't think you should be a teacher then.
How old was she?
47. She probably shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Or maybe they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, but you're 17 and 18. You're just wherever. Whatever.
Oof. I guess now I have to ask the question since I can't see the story. Do they have a picture of what this woman looks like?
Yeah, she's probably, yeah. I would have found her guilty too.
Well, you value looks over everything. So, right. Yes.
Speaking of looks, there is a woman. Well, she'll explain it to you. She is standing, and it looks like a selfie, and it's with her mom. And then all of a sudden, her husband comes up from behind the mom and grabs her around the waist, and they appear to be rather close, this family. So here's what this woman had to say.
Do you want to know how I keep my man happy? I let him play with my mom. Yeah, I'm that kind of wife.
Oh my goodness. just watching the video is intense and crazy. Like the guy, like you described it, the guy comes off screen and grabs the wife in a very familiar manner. The mom in a very familiar manner. You know how I, what? You know how I keep my man happy? You're a very loving wife. You're supportive. You cook for him. No, I let him do stuff with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And mom's going pretty good.
Yeah. That is not really.
Well, she is. I
understand.
Yeah.
But that is not the lurid detail that I'm thinking about. It's the willingness for her, first off, and even for the guy to be like, I really like to have sex with your mom.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of moms you wouldn't, but.
I don't know, man. It's a little much.
It is a little much.
You're all very too comfortable with each other. It's just too much. Like, I would like a clear line. Like you're. If I'm gonna call you mom because I'm married to your daughter, you're just gonna stay my mom.
Yeah.
Or mother-in-law. We're not gonna do that other thing.
She's got another video. The daughter with two other women in the kitchen. They seem to be rather close. The daughter is, she's a freak. She's a little freaky.
Does she teach the first grade?
I don't know. She probably is a first grade teacher. We don't know. That's an unanswerable question. McDonald's staffers are in some trouble. They were arrested after drugs were found in a kid's Happy Meal in Auburn, Maine. Drug charge. Do you think that suboxone, I don't know what suboxone is, that packets were nestled alongside her 11-year-old toy and McNuggets. Do you think that McNuggets should come with drugs, Del?
Maybe.
Huh?
I'm actually considering it. Should they come directly from McDonald's is what you're asking? Should it be the prize in your Happy Meal?
Yeah. Is that... That if that's what the prize is, that's what the prize is.
Let me ask you something, John. As a kid, I won't go so extreme as drugs. Like, as a kid, Happy Meal was going on, and they said, hey, I can give you, when you're a kid, I don't know. I can give you some Topps baseball cards, and maybe you'll get a couple White Sox you like, or a pack of cigs. Which one would you have taken at 14?
At 14? I would have taken both. Give me both.
Yeah, I get it. You greedy MF-er. I know, I get it. But which, if you had a choice, if you could only take one, the pack of cigs or the Topps baseball cards?
The smokes.
Yeah.
Give me the smokes.
So, yeah.
But this kid's only 11. I don't think he should be doing drugs. That's just me as a parent.
Maybe.
You're not a parent. You don't know.
Maybe you shouldn't parent other
people's kids. You got to wait for your kids to do drugs.
Maybe you shouldn't parent other people's kids.
Yeah. Well,
stay out of their business.
Well, apparently, this parent is none too pleased with her neighbor. It would be much appreciated if you could at least shut your blinds when walking around naked. My kids do not and would not like to see your ass out on the show. Much appreciated, your neighbor.
And if I was another neighbor, I'd go, hold on. Don't speak for all of us.
Yeah. Well, maybe. And oh, by the way. Don't speak for your kids. Your kids probably are enjoying this show.
Well, I mean, in that case, you're the parent. You're allowed to make that decision. But as far as the adult who you're not a parent of, don't speak for me. Maybe I'm enjoying this show. Let's not ruin a good thing. Maybe you know what you should do? Keep your kids away from the window or close your window. How about that? And allow me to enjoy whatever is going on.
Yeah. Don't speak for the whole neighborhood here. Not the HOA.
This is a time where the HOA needs to get involved. Excuse me. You cannot make decisions for the entire neighborhood.
Yeah. Minnesota police are under fire again. They've had a great year. But it's been a good year for Minnesota.
Yeah, it's been a good calendar year for them. Actually, it was over a year, right? George Floyd.
Yeah, it's over a year.
About a year now. They've had a good run, I guess.
Yeah. Apparently, Minnesota police are accusing those who take free books to be thieves. And the internet is none too pleased.
How do you steal a free book?
I don't know. It's a little free library, a community donated library that allows bookworms to help themselves to a book and bring back another to contribute.
You know what's A teacher who I know sent me a link where you can download any book you like, but it's not free. It's like, I mean, it's free for me if I wanted to, but it's not like this. It's not like the book companies and the publishers are like, here, we're providing the service. A teacher was like, these are, you can download any book you'd like. I was like, thanks. I didn't know teachers thought that way, but I appreciate it. I was like, yeah, I don't think you can steal free books. What I'm doing, if I did, it would be considered stealing. They're free books.
They're free.
How do you steal those?
Hey, police department, they're free.
I don't steal free mints when they hand them out at the restaurant.
No, unless you take a whole handful.
But they're free. I don't do that, but they're free.
Take a couple, okay? No,
you're being a hog, yeah. But they're free.
Hogs get slaughtered. A homeowner woke up to a burglar who raided his kitchen and used the toilet. I think if you got to use, it's better than.
I mean, it's better than doing it in my bed.
Yeah, or on the floor.
It is a little.
I'm with the burglar on this one.
I understand you don't have any respect for my personal property since you already broke in, but it is insult to injury. If you steal my food and then I look in my toilet and you've left me a gift, it's a little much. Like some things you can accept. I'd be a bit infuriated if I opened up the toilet seat and that was waiting for me.
Yeah, apparently the burglar opened up the homeowner's bedroom door, to find Amy Padgett and her Marine veteran husband. You know what?
I'm not trying.
I'd pick
him.
A better place.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that.
No, and they got a 19-year-old son that probably, I don't know, so if he's a Marine
way
son.
Way outnumbered.
Chances are you're not in a good place. But apparently they found that he heated up some Eggo waffles, a lean cuisine. Yogurt and popsicles, and then he went to the bathroom.
So this was a crime of hunger.
Yeah.
Like, this dude made a whole meal for himself.
Yeah.
I love a good Eggo waffle.
Yeah, I think he probably was on the McDonald's Happy Meal, too. Probably. More than likely.
It was a Munchies thing?
It might. It usually is. There's usually some drug involved. An Indiana woman, apparently she died after tearing her artery on a roller coaster. Dell. Do you want to go on a roller coaster and tear an artery?
I don't mind
Is this roller coaster maybe a little rough?
I don't mind a roller coaster, but the thought of death from a roller coaster is astronomical, that particular chance. But no, if I learn that arteries are going to get, it can't be one of those major roller coasters, right? It's one of the carny rolling around a town, right? That's how it happened?
Well,
like one of those crappy roller coasters?
I probably wasn't.
That you see in parking lots?
It wasn't a good roller coaster since it tore your artery.
Yeah, saying crappy probably is pretty obvious if you die from it or
you
tear an artery.
If you die from the roller coaster, it's assumed that it's a crappy roller coaster.
That's a bad way to die. Like, dying is terrible, but when people talk about you, you died on a roller coaster. Really? Really? That's how he went out? I got to go out special. I don't know how I'm going to go out, but it ain't going to be on a roller coaster.
I hope not. No, well, you're a carny. You might.
No, so. I would run it correctly. Carnies don't get on the rides themselves.
Well, wouldn't it be appropriate, though, after your career being a carny?
No, what should kill me is like a giant radio tower falling on me.
That absolutely should kill you. We're done. It's 10:56 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again on Monday, everybody.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5.